Welcome to John Morrow. This is Coffee with the City Manager, and thank you, Kate Ingram, for coming up with the name. I think that she was just thinking one day that our city manager, John Morrow, has been on the coffee house circuit for a while, and with that being a little more difficult, he is now here at KPTZ. So welcome, John.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Good to be here yet again. And I don't want to discourage people from picking up a glass of cup of tea or a mug of coffee. You can still support our local businesses by doing so, as I've done this morning. I notice you're doing the same, Tim, right now.
I do every Thursday. As a matter of fact, I've kept a few coffee houses going in my day. Welcome back.
Thanks.
It's been a week, a long week for you. And I, you know, as we were speaking before you, we came online here, there's like different levels that a person like me, this is a weird black hole where things seem to go in and don't come out. Somebody like you, or even, the person that checking the cashier at the QFC or working at the transfer station, life is going on as normal. In fact, it's probably quite busy for you, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I certainly don't want to complain. I love my job and I love this community. It's weird to have, usually it's, you know, back-to-back meetings all day in person with people I get to meet for the first time or people I get to see again, people we collaborate with, members of the community. I mean, my Friday mornings were awesome because I get to sit down and have coffee with anybody to talk about anything. That was the highlight of my week. So now this is the highlight of my week. But I guess now it's, you know, 8 or 9 back-to-back conference calls or video calls, and I'm sitting in the same chair for 8 or 9 hours. I forget to have lunch. It's just a little bit weird. But yeah, I think for me and certainly for members of my team and for our elected leadership, now is not a boring time. Now is a very busy time. And a lot of us are running pretty fast.
I can only imagine the streets are still there. They're not healing themselves during this time. They are, things are still moving. Water needs to be kept flowing. Projects need to be planned. Are there any projects that, given not only where we're at with the coronavirus, but the economic situation that has come along with that, is there anything keeping you up at night? Or
No, I sleep so well these days.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, pretty much everything keeps me up at night. Half of why I can be so productive, I suppose. I mean, there's a lot that needs to continue, you know, and I'll just give a shout out to, you know, the streets crews, the wastewater treatment crew, the water treatment plant crew, the public safety crew, the finance crew. I mean, there are people who still at the city need to make sure that you as residents and as community members get what you need. And I'm not saying it's the same as it's always been. It's different. We've had to really adapt and change, and that's challenging for us as it is probably for you. But you could still do a lot of your city services online or by phone. We've made ourselves available. Our website, if you go to cityofpt.us/COVID, it'll take you to that page that says what's still going, what's not. You know, our pool and our library are closed. We've closed a lot of our park facilities for health and safety reasons. But our trails are not closed, you know. Open spaces are not closed. You know, there are things you can in our library. It's a 24-hour, you know, 7-day-a-week service really online. So there are things that can still sustain you, and certainly things that keep us busy, making sure the water flows and public safety happens, and you know we continue to keep the city moving. Of course, there are a lot of things that need to be paused, you know, and a lot of our priorities for this year need to be completely reconsidered given the circumstances. And you know, just as an example that I know I've gotten, you know, comments about when I have coffee with people in person, something like deer management, you know, that was on the docket this year. Seems a little bit lower priority now, given the fact we're dealing with a global pandemic. But those are the kinds of things we're not saying, you know, completely go away. But for now, we need to take a pause and say, what's critical? What do we need to keep moving with? And then what can we just prepare for on the other side so that when we get there, we can pick up and maybe move even faster?
Yeah, I think that there are things that go on at the national level that take a long, they affect us, but they take a long time to affect us. They take a long time to trickle down. Things like deer management, or is the dump going to, can I take my trash to the dump?
Yeah.
These are the things that affect me immediately.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed was the transfer station asking for IDs because Kitsap had closed their dumps to self-haul, which is, I live in the county, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And they evidently, word of mouth only, that, you know, many of them were coming into Jefferson County. And the lines were long there for a while, not yesterday, frankly, when I was out there. Mm-hmm. But there are still these services, and they get impacted immediately by decisions that come from you, come from our city council.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keep it going.
I mean, that's an interesting point. I mean, I had a great conversation with our new public works director about this just the other day, and also with a county administrator who I just got off a conference call with. You know, and it's amazing how there's a chain reaction of response based on what one jurisdiction does. And I think this is a good reason to kind of go back to what Dr. Tom Locke says from a public health perspective, is that, you know, I'm not saying we need to take a one size fits all approach across the entire state or country. But there's a rationale for doing things in a coordinated fashion. You know, I think with Governor Inslee's order and updated clarifications about, you know, everything from building to, you know, what you can do outside to where you should be going and essential services, doing so in a coordinated manner helps everybody, because those sort of interjurisdictional confusions and, okay, what do we now do with somebody else's, you know, trash from a different county? We could head off a lot of that challenge. So I'm not saying we've got that really right, but certainly doing so in that manner can probably help everybody and help all residents actually get it right.
Well, we talk a lot about silver linings here at KPTZ. We're starting to record silver linings, things that have been on the good side that have come out of this. Is there any sense that this is a real life drill, that there may be some coordination that comes out of this at a regional level, perhaps, that will help us in the future? I mean, it's given us pause for thought.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I really like the approach to silver linings, because it sort of implies the cloud's still there. I think for us to pretend that, oh, this is a great opportunity, is completely tone deaf to the real difficulty, challenges, and tragedy that some folks are facing, perhaps even those listening right now. And that's very real. And frankly, that's not going to go away anytime soon. So how do we actually balance the fact that this is painful for almost every single one of us, for personal, professional, and, you know, family circumstances, but actually try to find the opportunities, the silver lining, I guess, and okay, it forces us to work together in different ways. It forces us to innovate in doing things, whether it's, you know, planning and development to city council meetings. I mean, we're doing things now we never would have done had this not happened. And some of those things we're going to want to continue into the future, some of those partnerships, some of those new innovations. So I guess the silver lining from my perspective is that, you know, that urgency and that real critical emergency status of this, really, we don't have time to waste squabbling about things. You know, we don't have time to point the finger or for people to sort of sit back and wait for somebody else to lead. Actually, all of us in some way or another need to actually step forward and come to a better understanding and commitment to what we individually can do if we can do something. You know, you expect that from somebody perhaps in my position, but, you know, yeah, I'll continue to try to step up as much as I possibly can to my, you know, every fullest extent of every ounce of my being. But that doesn't make everybody else get to say, great, glad the city's got it taken care of. We need leadership from all sectors. We need leadership from all community members that actually have the means to throw a bit of time or resource into it. You know, and I'll just use a couple examples. I was on the phone this morning with the EDC and the chamber, and that's another resource where they're building their capacity to reach out to small businesses locally to help them through this difficult economic time. I also had a call the other day with the Jefferson Community Foundation, and was talking with Siobhan Canty about how they as an organization are trying to find immediate ways of helping nonprofits in need. Same thing with the Fort Worden PDA. You know, we've had conversations repeatedly over the last few months. So, you know, in a way, it's not a silver lining we're all dealing with crisis, but the communication, not direct personal contact, but the communication and the urgency of connecting together and figuring this out together is a real paramount pressure. And we don't have an option not to actually do that, to work together, to be creative, to try to solve the problem together.
Well, there's been a lot of time for reflection. And as I sit in my house and I look out and I, you know, whine about not being able to go out and do everything that I want to do, it instantly comes to my mind that I'm in a house.
Yeah.
And there are people that are not in that house. I think there has been some food for thought and some reflection going on. And this is a very giving community. And I'm hoping that our response will be commensurate with the need. You spoke about different businesses that are suffering, and we know what that means. We talked earlier about just the musicians, and also the musical venues, the festivals at Centrum that were scheduled, the amount of planning, and I know from experience that if you're a venue, you're booking 6 months in advance. There's so much uncertainty out there, and it won't just immediately end when this comes to some type of end.
Yeah.
So we have to plan way ahead.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I guess there's a good reason there that a resource for the community like KPTZ is so vitally important in these times, is that you can socially distance and just your ears can dance to the music, and you don't need to, you know, be in a venue and actually put yourself at risk. But it's devastating to the real kind of core ethos of this community and what it means to be, you know, such a vibrant arts and culture community. So, you know, on one hand, like we were talking about earlier, it is devastating. And I know that particularly, you know, the leadership, the elected leadership of this region, I know this is something on the minds of Mayor Sandoval and council members, you know, and it's something that they're putting all their efforts into trying to help get us through this difficult time. But I guess, you know, with some, things will be different on the other side. But I'd like to believe that, you know, that root identity of Port Townsend doesn't, it can morph, but it won't go away, you know. So on the other side, there is a vibrant Centrum hosting amazing events. You know, there are local musicians with a place where they can come and show off their stuff, and people can support them and get excited and connect again. So I know it's a long wait, you know, given what we know about the virus and kind of how long the kind of pandemic will play out. But I guess what kind of allows me to sleep occasionally is to imagine that it will eventually end, you know, and there is an end to the pandemic. And on one hand, some things can go back to generally normal. And on the other hand, maybe there's some things we could actually go back that you know, maybe are better. You know, I like saying this sort of, it's a classic resilience saying that instead of just bouncing back, we bounce forward. We use it as an opportunity to improve and get better. And so I'd like to imagine that the vitality of that arts community has the potential to come back in a surge and actually be better than even it was before.
You know, outside of the obvious, what we do to quell the situation that we're in, and the washing the hands and the staying home and all of those things, the social distancing, is there anything that you would really like to see on a large scale in this community happen right now that could help our situation?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd be remiss not to mention a couple of the small things. You know, like you'll see it in our, we're newly on Facebook as a city. So go ahead and like us and follow us. And I think, you know, we put up a couple posts so far, and there'll be more coming, obviously. But those little PSAs like, hey, you know, flushable wipes aren't flushable. You know, you're causing some concern for crews going out three times a week looking at, you know, challenging spots and sewer lines and making sure that we can keep that running. And we really depend on people to, you know, stay in touch with us, and you know, whether it's our Facebook feed or our website or listening to me now, and just help us help you. There's some very simple things you can do, like not flushing disposable wipes, that actually make it much easier for my staff to deal with the COVID, the response to COVID. So you know, there's those little things that we can all do. I guess, you know, one of those things I'd like to see, and this is, you know, this borders on pie in the sky and kind of intangible, but I think people will generally get this. You know, just because we're physically distant doesn't need to mean that we're socially distant. And I think we all ache for that kind of connection that a lot of us really enjoy. And look, especially as somebody coming new to this amazing place, I have this instinct to want to go out and connect with people, you know, and make friends and have conversations. But we can still do that, you know, and we can still do that safely. It might not be in person. And we could still check in on people. So I think if there's one thing, you know, you can, there are ample resources out there where you can volunteer your time and your money. You know, there are some great causes that need your support, like the Jefferson Community Foundation. They're doing a COVID response, you know, fundraising drive right now. You know, that's a way that you can help. You can get in touch with the DEM, the Department of Emergency Management, or OLECAP, and volunteer your time. But I think one of the things that, as we're all kind of running around, maybe being more busy trying to find a way to help, don't look any further than your local neighborhood, really. You know, there's the opportunity for you to just check in on and understand the needs of your local neighbors and build those connections. You know, I went around and I just got the text numbers of phone numbers of all, you know, I kind of mostly had them from the people who live around me, but there are a few that I didn't, you know, and I occasionally just check in on people, whether physically or via my phone, making sure particularly those who are living alone are okay. And maybe I can pick up something extra when I do my relatively infrequent grocery shop. You know, maybe there's a little piece of yard that I can help mow, or maybe I can just make sure somebody has some companionship as they're struggling to even connect with anybody. I'm lucky to have my family at home, likely listening to my voice still as I'm in the studio. You know, I can go home and talk to my daughter and my wife, and that keeps me really going. But some people can't. So I guess if there's anything I'd ask people to do, it's to really think about the human level and connect with those most close to you.
You know, and sometimes that those little intangibles are the most important. I was so impressed with Mayor Sandoval's advice last week, which is very simple. Be kind. Be kind to each other. These are stressful times. We can work with that. And that intent, you hit on a pet peeve of mine, the flushable wipes. Oh, man. You know, that's been a problem all over the country. And I just, I suppose, you know, and there's so many wipes. We use hand wipes and, you know, we use wipes a lot more perhaps now than we have in the past. And I can imagine what a nightmare that can be for the public works people. Keep that in mind, the little things, right?
Sure. I mean, even on the road, you know, just there are much fewer people on the road, and a lot of people I see on the roads are actually walking, which is fantastic. If you do so at a social distance and respecting good, you know, optimal hygiene habits, then get outside and refresh your mind and body. But you know, we still need to make sure that if you are driving, that you're just careful out there. You know, our emergency responders need to take care of emergencies. Let's not create additional ones for them.
And, you know, I almost forgot. I did get a call from a listener, and her question was this. She said, I've seen a lot of RVs coming into town. A lot of them from out of town, people escaping Seattle, people coming up from California, this sort of thing. So her question was, how do we get the word out that the campgrounds and clothes are closed, and perhaps on a larger scale? It did not sound to me like she was particularly impressed with the number of RVs still coming here.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a concern I've heard as well. And so I just want to validate that to whoever the listener is who called in with a question. You know, look, I think that's not just a concern for us. I think there are a lot of places. I was on a call yesterday with a number of city managers from across the state, and was hearing from east side of the state and some tourist towns that will remain nameless at least now, who are dealing with the same issue. You know, they have a lot of folks coming to them because they're also beautiful and they also have a lot of tourist amenities. And their residents are concerned with what that means. So I guess, you know, from our perspective, it's quite clear that state parks are closed. So, you know, you can't drive into the state park and you can't camp in the state park. So that message probably takes a little time to get out to those who are, you know, traveling to a state park when the closure happens. And then I think Governor Inslee's order is relatively clear. And luckily, from a public health point of view, it's early days yet, and I'm the furthest thing from a pandemic expert as anybody. But from what we hear from Dr. Locke, you know, the stay at home, you know, stay healthy order is starting to bear fruit. We're starting to see some indication, early indication, that we're flattening the curve. It's not the time to let up, people. This is a time to kind of continue to dig in, because it can equally go the other way. So I'm hoping that, you know, people, the message on the governor's order becomes much more dire. And as I think nationally, we take the same approach. I mean, Washington State's done a really, I think, a quite comparatively great job compared to other states. As the message becomes more universal, people are going to get the picture. You know, you can still air your concerns if you see people there at campgrounds. You know, there are efforts to there's a park ranger, for instance, that's actually on site at Fort Worden, for instance. You know, making sure that the facilities are closed, but making sure that people are turned away. You know, but there's no easy answer, because it's hard to, you know, we're not a police state. We can't set up at this point quarantine and boundaries and, you know, checkpoints and that kind of thing. So we're really relying on people's, you know, judgment, understanding of what the governor's order has been. I think to those ends, one thing we're doing, you know, Mayor Sandoval and I signed a proclamation this past week that'll be going to city council at our Monday meeting, which I believe is going to be aired live on KPTZ, by the way. So listen then, 6:30 Monday evening. But one of those proclamations is to reinforce the stay home, stay healthy order, and to also reinforce the best practices for businesses to control the outbreak. So, you know, it's not a new rule or order or anything, but to the extent we can use what communication channels we have, including this one, to say, yes, this is a real thing. And the city's calling on essential businesses to implement the social distancing and sanitation measures. We're calling on, you know, people and customers of those businesses to do the same. And we're calling on those who might want to come to Port Townsend to enjoy this lovely, amazing place, to just wait until it's safe to do so, because actually that's not doing so is actually it's an offense, and there is a justice system that can actually deal with that if people are actually breaking that order.
Well, that's all good information, and it's so important to have these proclamations come from our local leaders. They make a difference. I know that I, you know, for one, was more than happy to leave town for an overnight until the proclamation came down from Governor Inslee. And, you know, people, for the most part, I think, follow these proclamations, and it's important that we have them. So this is, if you just tuned in, John Morrow, City Manager of Port Townsend. This is Coffee with the City Manager, and I am indeed drinking coffee. John is not, but
I'm dry.
He's dry. Yeah. He's dry. So maybe next time we can fix that. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you would like to put out there? Now, you did mention that we were going to air the city council meeting. I would like to put that out there for the listeners to know that. It's a good way to stay tuned. You know instantly what's going on when you tune into the city council.
Yeah. I mean, just a huge thanks to KPTZ, really the whole team, you know, Tim, to you and to Kate and to Bill Putney as well for making that possible. I mean, I'm hoping that while not everyone's wanting to necessarily hear a full city council meeting, you know, increasingly the things we're talking about are very relevant to COVID-19 and our response. So, you know, if and when you listen, you'll hear four resolutions going through that, though, everything from, like I said, really calling on people to adhere to the governor's order, as well as, you know, temporary policies we're making administratively, waiving and suspending late fees and penalties for utility bills. I mean, there's a number of things that we're trying to do now that will have a direct impact on your lives. So I do encourage people to tune in on KPTZ.
Well, thank you so much, John Morrow. Everybody, and the time for that city council meeting?
6:30 on Monday.
6:30 on Monday. So There we go. There you have it. City council meeting at 6:30 and coffee with the city manager. Keep in mind that we're going to do this for a while, and you can always send your questions in all week long. I'll collect them. Tim@kptz.org is a place to ask those questions, and I'll put them out to John Morrow when we see him next week, hopefully.
Indeed you will.
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you so much. You are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. This is Discovery Road. Tim Quackenbush.